Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, May 8, 2025, 2 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. Therefore, open the Word of God this evening to 2 John. 2 John. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have blessed us with one more day of freedom in Client Nation, USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, we have an update on the Las Ventanas Senior Living Center. Rich Blair has been out of town for the last few days, so Deacon Al is the one who was in charge of the Heaven Special at Las Ventanas. The Las Ventanas Heaven Special on Wednesday, May 7th, went very well. We continued in Lesson 10, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 9, reviewing the preference of the mature believer to be absent from his physical body and at home with the Lord in his resurrection body, verse 8. The lesson concluded with an outline regarding how the believer can be well-pleasing and acceptable to the Lord, verse 9. Everyone who attended last week's class was in attendance today, as well as Joanne, who had attended a number of the previous classes. The participants are very appreciative for the opportunity to hear accurate Bible teaching. Please keep the class in your prayers. Deacon Al. That's better than negative Al in the Hebrew. All right, we are in a new paragraph in 2 John, verses 7 through 11. In this paragraph, the Apostle John gives a warning to each one of us as royal family of God to beware of false teachers. And we have so many false teachers in America, they're everywhere. Beware of false teachers. That's verses 7 through 11. We've only exegeted verse 7. It sounds like this. Because many deceivers, many false teachers have gone out into the world. The ones who do not acknowledge and do not teach Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. That is, they totally reject the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. This one is the deceiver and the Antichrist. In the Apostle John's day, these false teachers were known as Gnostics. We have so many false teachers in America today, they don't go around calling themselves Gnostics. But they're still here. We have just as many today. And their false doctrine was known as Gnosticism. And they got their name from a Greek word, which actually, when used with regard to the Word of God, it refers to grace perspicacity. But they totally distorted it into something totally false. Gnosis, N-O-S-I-S. Now, Gnosis means knowledge. And in the God-breathed scriptures in the New Testament, Gnosis is one of the key parts of grace perspicacity. Grace perspicacity, or Operation Z. And Operation Z has four stages. The first stage is the pastor-teacher, spiritual gift of pastor-teacher, who teaches the Word of God, eisegogically, categorically, and exegetically. That's stage one. And then stage two, God the Holy Spirit then takes that communication by the pastor and teaches your human spirit. And then that goes down into the left lobe of the soul, the nous, and there it becomes gnosis. It's Bible doctrine, and you understand it, but that doesn't mean you believe it. There were a lot of believers in Corinth. They understood what the Apostle Paul was teaching, but they didn't believe what he was teaching. And that was true also in the Apostle John's day. He had a large congregation, and he had some people in his congregation who understood what he was teaching, but they had gnosis, but they did not have epinosis. That's stage three. Now, your volition has to act. If you reject that gnosis doctrine, it won't benefit you at all. And you can say, like Cerinthus did, Apostle John, I know what you're teaching, but Apostle John, I don't believe what you're teaching. All he had there was gnosis. Then stage four, when you go positive and believe that gnosis, it becomes epinosis. Completed doctrine. And that's in the right lobe of the soul, the cardia. The target for the Word of God is to get it into your cardia, your heart, the right lobe of the soul. And once you believe that gnosis doctrine, it becomes epinosis, completed doctrine. Now you have metabolized doctrine in the heart, and now, through the filling of the Spirit, you can skillfully and accurately apply that truth, absolute truth, to every situation and circumstance in your life. That's Operation Z. So gnosis is a, in the New Testament, very important and excellent word for the Word of God that you, pastor, teacher, has taught the absolute truth of God's Word. God the Holy Spirit takes that communication, teaches your human spirit. It goes into your nous, your mind. You understand it. That's it. This is a great use of gnosis. And then if you believe it, positive volition becomes epignosis. That's grace perspicacity. Grace perspicacity or Operation Z. Well, the Gnostics distorted gnosis from the Word of God. Distorted it. And a gnostes is an expert in knowledge. And the Gnostics were very impressed with their human knowledge and their human IQ. And a lot of them have. Cerinthus had a very high human IQ. Very impressed with who and what he was and what he knew. Many of them considered themselves to be Christians, and they borrowed heavily from Christian vocabulary. So the Gnostics were impressed with knowledge, but not the knowledge of the God-breathed scriptures. The Gnostic teachers sought to combine Christianity with assumptions about God and the world held by most people in their day. And therefore, they combined Christianity with contemporary philosophy, mythology, and astrology. They totally rejected the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. The claim that God became man, in their thinking, was totally impossible. The Gnostics taught that Jesus was simply a man, not God at all. They totally denied the deity of Jesus Christ. In their thinking, he was just a man. He was the natural son of Joseph and Mary and nothing else in their thinking. In their thinking, he was not the eternal Son of God who took on true humanity through the incarnation and virgin birth. And therefore, these false teachers totally denied the deity of Jesus Christ. Salvation for the Gnostics was illumination, acquiring knowledge, more and more knowledge, through philosophy, mythology, astrology, and therefore dispelling ignorance and triumphing over the material. Therefore, their false gospel is simply getting knowledge. It's illumination. And that was all included in their false teaching and false doctrine. These false teachers taught a false gospel and false doctrine. Satan used these false teachers. In that day, he used this more than anything else to keep unbelievers. They could never be saved by listening to the Gnostics. So this kept unbelievers. And to get believers trapped in his cosmic system, out of the spiritual life. One of these false teachers of Gnosticism was in the Apostle John's congregation, and his name was Cerinthus. And the Apostle, in the epistles of John, they are 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, are a polemic against Cerinthian Gnosticism. Cerinthus was influencing many believers in John's congregation. And he was influencing both believers and unbelievers all throughout Asia Minor, spreading a false gospel and false teaching about the person of Christ. He denied the deity of Christ. He denied that the Lord Jesus Christ is the creator of the universe. He denied that Jesus is the eternal Son of God. He taught that Jesus was just a man, the natural son of Joseph and Mary. He denied the incarnation and virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. He denied the hypostatic union of our Lord. He taught that Jesus was only humanity. He was not undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever. He totally denied that salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ and in his salvation work on the cross. Right now, in these last days of the church age, Satan is using false teachers to prepare the way for his man, the Antichrist of the tribulation. And by the way, Canada has totally, they're gone. Canada is gone. They elected somebody who could, if he's not the Antichrist, he sure as hell acts just exactly like the Antichrist. He is 100% totally evil, satanic. And everything he stands for is exactly what the Antichrist is going to stand for following the rapture of the church. He thinks exactly the way the Antichrist will think following the rapture. Now, I don't personally, he's not the Antichrist, but I tell you what, when the rapture occurs, he'll still be here. Still be here and still leading Canada. And the Antichrist will probably put this guy in his administration. I don't know what's going on up in Canada. They got bad water or something up there. And I love Canada. I grew up in the state of Washington. And I think Canada has some of the most beautiful country in the world. Some of the most beautiful country in the world is in the Canadian Rockies. And if you have never been to Banff, Alberta, it's absolutely spectacular. Jasper, Alberta, unbelievable. All of this in the Canadian Rockies. And when I was going to Dallas Theological Seminary, I had a job at Salad Master Corporation. I was the janitor. I was a janitor, and I came in about midnight into Salad Master and cleaned up the whole place. Dumped all the garbage and waste baskets and ashtrays and cleaned everything up. That was my job. Well, I was in the president's office, the vice president's office, and dumping their garbage. And some of them had some pretty good stuff in their garbage. What they threw away, I took home. And I thought, boy, when I get married, this is where I want to go. When I get married, when God gives, provides, and he already had provided, I sent a card to Debbie every single day. Every day, I would send her a card and telling her how much I loved her and all of these things, and day after day after day. But I had in one of the, I think it was the vice president's office, he had all this on Banff Springs Hotel in Banff, Alberta. And I go, wow. And I started, oh, this is fantastic. And I kept that with me. And that's where we went on our honeymoon. We went up to the Canadian Rockies in the Banff Springs Hotel. Absolutely unbelievable. A a castle in the Canadian Rockies. When you pull up, all these men, you'd think you were in Scotland. Here are all these men coming out with kilts, coming out with their kilts, and I know there's probably nothing on underneath those kilts, but I... And they took all of our luggage and went inside. We went in, and they had the most... It was a castle. And you went into the Rundle Lounge. And the Rundle Lounge at one end was all glass windows looking out on the Canadian Rockies, the Bow River, a golf course, and... Out on the golf course, you know what? Most, not very many people out on the golf course. Elk were all over the golf course. And I played on that golf course. The most difficult thing was the greens were covered with elk poop. It was very hard to hit a straight putt on that green. And then we went on up to Jasper, there's a lake right there. Again, you're in the Canadian Rockies. And we had a room right on the lake. And I got up early in the morning to go out and fish off the dock. And fog had come down and settled on the lake. And from the other side of the lake, somebody with bagpipes started playing Amazing Grace on the bagpipes, echoing all over the mountains. And I just thought, you know, this is just a little taste of what it's going to be like when we get to heaven. I'll guarantee you, there's one hymn I know we're going to sing in heaven. Amazing Grace. We're all going to be singing Amazing Grace. Probably that same guy playing the bagpipes, he'll be up there playing them again. I don't know how in the hell I got on all that, but... Oh, Canada. At that time, Canada was a decent place. Not anymore. They have sold their soul to the devil in Canada. They are horrible. So right now, in these last days of the church age, Satan is using false teachers to prepare the way for his man, the Antichrist of the tribulation. As in John's day, these false teachers are deceivers. They are Antichrist. They are against Christ. They are not only against Christ, but they are against Bible-believing Christians. These false teachers include politicians, socialists, Marxists, liberals, religious leaders. They're all over America and all around the world. These deceivers and antichrists right now are promoting globalism, which will culminate in a one-world government ruled by the Antichrist in the tribulation. And this globalism includes political internationalism, i.e. the United Nations, evil to the core, the modern-day Tower of Babel, religious internationalism, the ecumenical movement, and that will be full bore in the tribulation. One world currency, and that's for that elected leader in Canada, that's all he is talking about. Today, all the necessary physical components that would make a one world government possible, they're here right now. Instant communication around the globe. This is an absolute necessity for a one world government to operate and maintain its power. This instant communication is possible via satellites, computers, iPads, iPhones, internet devices, artificial intelligence, television, radio. Also, rapid transportation is another necessity that is now available. This includes the rapid deployment of troops anywhere in the world. And third, supercomputers, which bind the world together with electronic data. Well, we're all there. We're right. We're just waiting for the rapture. And it's all set up for the Antichrist, the Antichrist. So again, verse 7, because many deceivers, many false teachers have gone out into the world, the ones who do not acknowledge and do not teach Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. They reject the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. This one is the deceiver and the Antichrist. He is against Christ. Now, one. These false teachers, deceivers, and antichrists have a phony, hypocritical facade. These false teachers, deceivers, and antichrists have a phony, hypocritical facade. Two. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. So these false teachers are wolves in sheep's clothing. That's point two. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. Matthew 7:15. Three, they seek to stimulate you and they try to influence you with smooth and flattering speech. They seek to stimulate you and they try to influence you with smooth and flattering speech. Turn over to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. Romans 16. Romans 16, starting at verse 17. Now I urge you, brethren, royal family, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you learned, and turn away from them. Turn away from them. Separate from them. Don't have anything to do with them. For such men are slaves not of our Lord Christ, but of their own emotions, and by their smooth and flattering speech, They deceive the hearts of the, well, you might have unsuspecting, I have stupid. Deceive the hearts of the stupid. So they seek to stimulate you, and they try to influence you with smooth and flattering speech. Romans 16, 17, and 18. 4. They use human public relations systems, PR, human public relations systems, and legalistic flirtation and activism to court believers. They use human public relations systems and legalistic flirtation and activism to court believers. And Cerinthus was doing that in the Apostle John's congregation and led a huge number of believers out of John's church. Turn over to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. We'll start at verse 16. Galatians chapter 4, verse 16. The Apostle Paul says, have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? Paul's the greatest believer of all time, greatest communicator of the grace and truth of the Word of God. Paul was teaching the believers in Galatia, the Galatians, he was teaching them truth, grace, that they were legalists. They rejected grace and they were totally in legalism. Human works. Have I now become your enemy by teaching you the truth, the absolute truth of the Word of God? Those people, the false teachers, are zealous to win you over, but for no good. What they want is to alienate you from us. They want to alienate you from us so that you may be zealous for them. This has been going on. This isn't something new. This has been going on through human history, going on since John's day, going on since the Apostle Paul's day. Turn over to 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. And this is the last letter that Paul wrote before his execution. In verse 1 he says, mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. That's where we are. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. You know, I was an athlete. And I got at Washington State University, and Jack Mooberry, the track coach at WSU, gave me a full scholarship to come to Washington State University and run the hurdles. And I loved athletics. I loved athletics. That was a great time, by the way. Those men on our track team, they were amazing men. And many of those men on our track team were believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only believers, they went to Bethany Bible Church. They grew up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Many of those believers were winner believers, spiritually mature believers on the track team at Washington State. And we were brothers. We were brothers. My brother Don got a full scholarship to go to Washington State University and play football. And many of the players on the WSU football team were believers in Jesus Christ. The head coach invited Campus Crusade for Christ to come in and speak to the entire football team and give the gospel. So the leaders of Campus Crusade said, "Dick, would you go in and give the grace gospel and give your testimony?" So I did. Here's the whole football team at Washington State sitting out there and gave the grace gospel. My brother Don was out there. And some of those who were out there and heard that believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they came to Bethany Bible Church. They grew up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. They were Christians. That football team was full of Christians. And they were brothers. And it never entered any of their mind to sell out and go somewhere else because they could get more money. That's so evil. It's destroying America, destroying athletics in America. Those football players and my brother Don, we talk every Monday. I said, "How many millions of dollars did you get offered by NIL? "There was no NIL." He said, "That is... we were brothers. We were brothers. We would not let down the rest of the team for money. Who are you only thinking about? You're only thinking about you, yourself. You're so damn arrogant. You're so selfish. You're so self-centered. All you think about is you, you, you. You don't care about the team. You don't care about the loyalty to the school. You only care about you, 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 you. You're in interlocking systems of arrogance. You are totally dead. You're dead. And you represent everything that's wrong with this nation right now. Everything that's wrong with it." See, the first thing that Paul says, people will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of themselves. They only give a damn about themselves. They don't care about anybody else, only themselves. Self-centered, selfish. No loyalty. No integrity, no virtue. Just me, 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 me. It's all about me, me, me. And then what follows? Lovers of themselves, lovers of money. Well, that pulls it all together right there. Athletics, college athletics, been totally destroyed. Totally destroyed in America. Lovers of themselves and lovers of money. It's the last days. Destroying America. People will be lovers of themselves and lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without virtue love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of
the good, divine good, the result of living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, religion, but denying its power. Now listen what Paul says. Have nothing to do with them. Have nothing to do with them. Separate. So they use human public relation systems and legalistic flirtation and activism to court believers. Five, they reject the absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures. They think they know everything and they don't know what the hell they're even talking about. That's my translation of 1 Timothy 1, 6 and 7. So turn over to 1 Timothy 1, 6 and 7. First Timothy 1, verse 6, some have wandered away from the faith, the body of faith of the God-breathed scriptures, and they have turned to meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law, but they do not even know what they're talking about. They don't even know what they're talking about and what they so confidently affirm. So they reject the absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures and don't know what they're even talking about. 1 Timothy 1, 6 and 7. 6. They are eloquent, influential speakers. Oh, very eloquent. Greasy. Eloquent, influential speakers. John already taught this in 1 John 4. Beloved, royal family of God, stop believing any and every influential speaker, every communicator of the Word of God. But analyze the spirits, analyze the communicators of God's Word, whether they are from God. Because many false teachers have gone out into the world to evangelize for the cosmic system. But this is how the Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit, is recognized. Every spirit, every sound doctrinal communicator who acknowledges and teaches that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, he is from God. He teaches the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. But every persuasive speaker, false teacher who does not acknowledge and teach the Jesus of the God-breathed scriptures, orthodox Christology and soteriology, absolutely is not from God, not from the living and true God. Indeed, this false teaching keeps on being the spirit of the Antichrist, about whom you have heard that he is coming in the tribulation. But right now, in the church age, the spirit of Antichrist, false teachers, are already in the world. They're in the world right now. Seven. They do not function by the power of God the Holy Spirit, but by demons. And what they teach is doctrine of demons. look over at 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. The Spirit, that's God the Holy Spirit, clearly teaches that in the latter times some will abandon the faith, the body of faith, the God-breathed scriptures, and they will follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Doctrine of demons, 1 Timothy 4:1. Well, that's what we have now in the world right now. Fulfillment of 1 Timothy 4:1. So 2 John 7 again says, because many deceivers, many false teachers have gone out into the world, the ones who do not acknowledge and do not teach Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh, the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. And this one is the deceiver and the Antichrist. He is against Christ. Now, verse 8. And in verse 8, the King James starts out, look to yourselves. Now, this doesn't mean look to see if you got food on your coat. We'll see what it means. The present active imperative of blepo, plus the accusative plural of the reflexive pronoun heautu. Blepo. B-L-E-P, long O. Blepo. Now, a couple of things here. Point one, literally, blepo refers to the activity of your eyes, to be able to see, in contrast to being blind. It means to look at with your eye. That's literally. Point two, figuratively, blepo refers to mental functions, to direct one's attention to something, to consider something in your mentality. That's figuratively. But, point three, blepo also has a very special use. It's used as a warning. A warning. And it means to watch out. This is how blepo is used in verse 8. Watch out. Beware. Point four, when it comes to false teachers and Antichrist, you should be on red alert 24/7. You should be on red alert. The present tense of blepo has linear action, Sard. You would graph it that way and you would translate it, keep on being. Keep on being on red alert. For what? For false teachers. For Antichrist. The active voice, the believer living the spiritual life by the grace and the power of God, performs the action of the verb. And the imperative mood, this is a command. This isn't an option, this is a mandate to all of you. And then we have the reflexive pronoun heautu. H-E-A-U-T-O-U. Heautu. yourselves. Corrected translation, watch out for yourselves. Watch out for yourselves. You need to be on 24/7 red alert against false teachers and Antichrist. So, point one. The imperative mood of blepo combined with the reflexive pronoun heautu presents a very strong warning to you, royal family of God, to you, the believer. This imperative mood of blepo combined with the reflexive pronoun heautu presents a very strong warning to you, believer, royal family of God, too. This warning constitutes a mandate to your volition. This is a mandate for your volition to make some good decisions here before you are destroyed by your own bad decisions. This warning constitutes a mandate to the believer's volition. Three, every believer must take the responsibility for his own decisions. Every believer must take the responsibility for his own decisions. That's why it says, blepo heautu, watch out for yourselves. Watch out for yourselves, heautu. Blepo heautu. Four. You will never be distracted away from living the spiritual life apart from your own volition, making bad decisions from your own free will. Can't blame anybody else. Can't blame Pastor Olson. I mean, you can if you want to. I got shoulders not working very well anymore. I'm telling Tammy. She says, I can talk. I said, well, that's the only thing on me that works. Is I can talk. My knees don't work. My shoulders don't work. My body doesn't work. But I can talk. That's the only thing on mine, on me, that works. All the rest of you, most of your body works. All of your bodies work way better than my body. That's all right. I can still talk. So you will never be distracted away from living the spiritual life apart from using your free will, your volition, to make bad decisions. You see, your volition is the guardian of your soul. You can make good decisions or bad decisions. Five, when you fail to heed this warning, you wind up grieving the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4:30, and quenching the Holy Spirit, 1 Thessalonians 5:19 and 20. When you fail to heed this warning, you wind up grieving the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4:30, and quenching the Holy Spirit, 1 Thessalonians 5:19 and 20. Six. John is saying, hey, make good decisions. Make good decisions to choose for God and the absolute truth of the Word of God. And point seven, John is saying, you have to be on red alert 24/7. Red alert 24/7. Watch out for false teachers. Watch out for false doctrine. Watch out for Antichrist believers. You have to be on red alert 24/7. 8. You must maintain vigilance and guard against being distracted away from the spiritual life by people or by Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. You must maintain vigilance and guard against being distracted away from the spiritual life by people or by Satan's cosmic system. 9. Spiritual momentum demands making good decisions. Good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. So spiritual momentum demands good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. 10. Spiritual momentum demands positive volition, humility, respect for God and the Word of God, and the pastor teaches it. It demands the filling of the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, keep on being empowered by the Spirit. Galatians 5:16, keep on walking by the Spirit, and then you will not carry out the lust pattern of the sin nature. And the teaching ministry of the Spirit, 2 Peter 3:18, grow up in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But preoccupation with self, disillusionment with loved ones, personality conflicts with friends or your boss or your pastor, distractions from false teachers and Antichrist believers, none of these things are an excuse for you to make bad decisions and lose your spiritual momentum and spiritual growth. None of these are an excuse for you to make bad decisions, to lose your spiritual momentum and spiritual growth. Satan would love to trap you believers in his cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance, selfishness, self-centeredness, lovers of self, and interlocking systems of hatred, antagonism toward the Word of God, antagonism toward the pastor who teaches the Word of God. When you have preoccupation with self, you're living in cosmic one, interlocking systems of arrogance. And when you have antagonism toward God and the Word of God, you're living in cosmic two, interlocking systems of hatred. And the devil has you trapped in his cosmic system. 11, the believer living in the cosmic system makes himself the enemy of the cross, Philippians 3:18. He makes himself the enemy of God, James 4:4, he makes himself anti-Christ, against Christ. 1 John 2:18 and 2 John verses 7 and 8, our passage. So point 11, the believer living in the cosmic system, you make yourself. Nobody else made you. You make yourself the enemy of the cross. Philippians 3:18, the enemy of God. James 4:4, and anti-Christ, against Christ. 1 John 2:18, 2 John 7:8, 12. It is the pastor's responsibility to brace these believers with tough virtue love. It is the pastor's responsibility. He must brace these believers with tough virtue love and with a grace mental attitude so that they might come to their senses and escape from the trap of Satan's cosmic system, who has taken them captive to do his will. Now you're doing his will. So the pastor teacher, it's his responsibility. He must brace these believers with tough virtue love and a grace mental attitude so that they might come to their senses and escape from the trap of Satan's cosmic system, who has taken them captive to do his will. And we'll close with one passage. I want you to turn over to 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 25. Those who oppose him, and him is the pastor, those who oppose the pastor, he, the pastor, must brace them with a grace mental attitude in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth. And verse 26, that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will. All right. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge each one of us that these truths become real to each one of our lives, that we will be on red alert 24/7, that we might live the spiritual life and glorify you to the maximum. In Christ's name, amen.